Welcome to This Podcast is Making Me Thirsty, the number one destination for Seinfeld fans. This is Two Up and Two Down. Here's our producer, Chris, to start us off.
All right. Thanks for joining us for another episode of Two Up and Two Down. Today, we're doing the Friars Club. And Tony, how about you start us off by giving us a up?
The Friars Club, Season 7, Mandel, friend of the show. Got to give two ups and two downs. I don't have a lot on my sheet here, so I'm kind of going off. I just rewatched this one recently, so hopefully it's still fresh. Glad I'm going first because this is a big up for me, obviously. Maybe I'm taking too much. I hope I'm not. Let me do this so I don't take too much. Rob Schneider delivers in this episode. I love when he's up with Elaine in the booth. And he does the whole dives in on her, dives in on her twice. Big Rob Schneider fan from the SNL days. I mean, he delivered on SNL for those that don't. I mean, you know, Farley, Hartman, obviously Sandler, all these guys. But I thought he was great on SNL back in the day. I'm glad they brought him in. I know Mandel was a writer. He said nothing to do with it. They just happened to get Schneider. But I did love that scene. As Bob Grossman with the whole, faking his hearing when he wants to. But, Mandel based this on a kid he knew in high school. He used to do that. He was adjust his hearing when he wanted to, acted like he didn't know the answer and things like this. But what an awkward way he goes in on Elaine up in that booth. I just love it. I think Rob Schneider delivered well as Bob Grossman, especially that scene. So I'll take that scene as my up. First up is the Schneider making the moves on Elaine.
Oh, yeah. We were all big fans of SNL back in the 90s when Seinfeld was hot, too. So, yeah, seeing Schneider and him killing it was an absolute thrill. So, yeah, great up. Chris, over to you. What's your first up?
Yeah, Rob Schneider, Tiny Elvis, you like the juice. I mean, it was weird loving Seinfeld in the early 90s, loving SNL. To see one of those guys on Seinfeld was kind of like odd, you know, like Dana Carvey, Farley, Mike Meyer, like. Those guys never fit on Seinfeld. Where to see Schneider there was fascinating, but he delivered. To Tony's point, that scene, there's a bunch of scenes. I might as well double down on Schneider here. What the hell? The Jerry, I love Jerry in the bathroom with him. Hey Bob, hey Bobby, over here. So good, and it inflated. And then Jerry runs back to Elaine and pretty much, I don't think he's faking. Are you sure? No. Like, what good are you? I don't know. I forgot why even Jerry was there. Oh, he was taking her out to lunch, but okay, that's right. And then she was doing extra work because Schneider couldn't do it. and then the whole, that scene before the bathroom, might as well keep going with that. Schneider still claims he can't hear and then talks about his tie. Just to Tony's point, Schneider delivered. He deserves another up here because he was in quite a decent amount of scenes from the beginning to this middle part to the end that Tony mentioned. So, again, Mandel worked at SNL, had nothing to do with it. So just another brilliant job by Hirschfeld to find that kind of annoying little quirky, funny, quiet kind of guy that Schneider and love Schneider in The Office, right? It always brought me back to making copies, the whole thing. So another one for Rob.
All right. Yeah. Another good scene there. So thanks, Chris. Tony, back to you. What's your second up?
My second up. I don't know how Howard feels about this one. So we'll go with it and skip. Maybe he can, he's either going to bury me or he may agree with me. My second up is the opening scene with George dancing. A little bit of, we all know Jason Alexander is a musical guy, the whole McDonald's commercial. He does it's not too off character. He does it in the, when he's got the, the hand modeling job, he's doing it as well. So it's not like he's too far out there. And this is what Mandel does. And we'll touch on this a little bit more as I go through this episode. And we talk about this, and Mandel talked about this with us. He was okay with grabbing from old episodes and kind of picking out things that were recurring themes and lines and things like that. He was a fan of the show. He liked to bring it into the universe of Seinfeld and kind of reuse it and make it his own in his episodes and kind of like an homage. We didn't always think it plays well because we thought it was kind of like you're trying to be what it was. But to his point, at least he backed it up on why he did it. And I think he did it here, knowing Jason and knowing George and that other episode when he does the dancing. You know, Jason does his thing there, dancing around. He gets the stay of execution before the wedding. So I like the way that episode starts. I'll take that over a cold open any day of the week, especially here late, you know, season seven. So, you know, that's my second up is the George kind of opening dance number.
Yeah. Thanks, Tony. And Chris, back to you. What's your second up?
Tony doesn't like Jerry tapping on his steering wheel, but he likes this nonsense. Let me tell you what that was.
Tell me what that was.
That was NBC promotion telling Seinfeld, we need a stupid thing with him dancing and looking up to the ceiling like this, and we're going to use it in a grand promotion. That's all that crap was. Why was he dancing? I forget. The wedding got pushed back?
Got a stay of execution on the wedding. June.
I mean, to compare that to the Hands episode where it's pure joy of he's been such a loser forever to, like, he's making money. Shame on you. Okay? So, listen. And by the way, what was it? I don't know. Was the wedding ever going to happen? Like, if she didn't die, what was going to happen? Just keep pushing it back?
Again, no, that's why she died. They weren't going to have the wedding.
No, I know. But that's what I mean. Like, what are we doing? Like, so that, I think that's why the dancing thing bothered me too. But hey, that's the way we fall here. Anyway. So wait, I have another, it's my up, right?
Yeah, that's why I gave that up to see your reaction to it.
So, all right, second up. Yeah, you know, these are two little like pieces of the date, just two lines I liked. George talking about he could coach in the NFL when they're all dating. Clearly, they're not talking to the women there. And then I think Tony hates the flying Sandoz. We'll probably get into that in the down. But I love when they finally convince Jerry to give the jacket. I always love when Jerry just says, "All right," and he just like takes off the jacket. Always get a chuckle with that. Whatever you say about the Sandoz. Him doing that, all right, and giving them the jacket deserves an up.
Yeah, I kind of like that too. So, that's a good up. So now we're going to do the downs. Tony, give us your first one.
Listen, I wrote that down. That's another callback by Mandel. The I could coach in the NFL. It's a callback to I like sports from George very early on. I'm telling you, Mandel loves doing it, and he did it well. And that's a great scene with them talking and everything else. I could coach the NFL. I love it. And my first down, since O'Hara mentioned it, I guess I'll just scoop it up. And he knows me well at this point on these things. And yes, I do not like the flying Sandoz brothers. I know Mandela told us a story about that. I guess it's based on the real flying brothers or something like this. And you know, he brought them in for that. But I found them terrible. I didn't like anything about them. For some reason, I always get them confused with the gymnast guys. I don't know why, but in my head, they kind of tied together the gymnast guy with Tatiana's friend there, who I don't like that much either, but I like them way better than these people, the Sandoz brothers. This episode's very disjointed, a lot of weirdness in it. And this is part of it I don't like is the flying Sandoz brothers. Who are they just taking this freaking jacket? And then, they just throw, that's their trick to just throw a jacket. I don't know. I don't get it. This episode just never comes together for me. As far as guest stars go, we mentioned Snyder, who I love. I think the Sandoz brothers gave too much play in this episode, and for what, really? At the end they go after George and Jerry too, but anyway, he's right. I don't like him, so I'll use it. That's my down, the flying Sandoz brothers. Not a fan.
All right, well, there you go. All right, we'll take that. And Chris, over to you. What's your first down?
First down. So, you know what? I found George so annoying on these double dates with Susan's best friend, Haley. Since when did she have a best friend? We've known her for 3 years. No best friend. All of a sudden, this unbelievable blonde pops up. We mentioned this. The engagement got pushed. It just keeps dragging on. Like, you know what? They should have just killed her in the first damn episode or the second one instead of the end, because this became too much. You know, I think two times George, like, oh, want to get some coffee? Coffee? You fucking 35 years old. Get a fucking beer, George, with Jerry and the girl. Enough with this. Like, I've had it. The double date stuff, he was just so annoying. The Gatsby stuff, enough. Like, just be an adult. Like, it's not always going to work out where you're going to be the Gatsbys. Chances are, that's never going to work out. So, he should know that. This guy's been around a block. So, for me, George, really annoying with the double date stuff.
Yeah, and I always hated that line where, like, oh, you know, there's an apartment opening up in our building. You know, that, geez. Anyway.
Excellent yeah. point.
So, Tony, back to you. What's your second down?
Yeah, it's the thing about this episode is everything he just said is right. If the episode was 15 minutes long, it would have been great. The problem is they carried all this shit out. Because I like the opening scene with George. Dinner's together, movies together. He's all excited. You know, I like the first Gatsby line. Then they have to do the Gatsby line again. Then they got to do all the stuff he just talked about again. You know, the whole, you know, let's go out to dinner again. Like, that's when they lose me. And to that point, I thought George was okay for the first half of the episode. And then even that sour, sweetened stuff, it got played out there and says it again. You got a sour and sweet. Now I'm bitter. They basically repeated the episode twice, and they could have just done, if the episode was like half its length, it would have been good. So my second down, he kind of touched on it, so I'm not going to use it. I thought Susan brought nothing to the table in this episode other than to bring the friend along. I mean, she was just unnecessary. But my second down is Connie. I'm sorry. I mean, again, Kramer's premise is very Kramer-like. I'll just sleep 20 minutes a day, Picasso, whatever it was, Da Vinci. I mean, like, that's not bad. But after, I mean, now he's in the fucking Hudson River in a sack because of Connie, and then the cops come and she calls Jackie Childs. I honestly didn't really like Connie as an actress, to be honest with you. I didn't like her role in it. I didn't like the whole Kramer ends up in the river. I just thought, you know, you had a good premise. Kramer doesn't just take naps. And then where do you go from here? I didn't like where they went. And I'm going to use Connie as the down there because I thought it was an odd girlfriend for Kramer. He kept saying that she isn't it obvious? She doesn't want me to be with anyone else. Like, no, it's not obvious, Kramer. We don't get that at all. Like, when did that come be a thing? She never mentioned it once. You know, didn't leave the apartment, I guess, but I don't know. Maybe someone was cut, but more should have been cut, but we'll get there. That's my down.
Yeah. I see your point there with the Kramer stuff kind of falls off at the end. So yeah, good down there. Chris, over to you. What's your second down?
Yeah, I'm gonna piggyback on that a little bit because I have a lot of Kramer in here. And yeah, carrying him out in a bag. Really? He wouldn't have woken up. So it's funny, these random Kramer girlfriends, and you mentioned we never learn. I think they always cut him, right? When he went tanning, that was another one. Like, I'd almost rather him. I like when he steals, like, Jerry. I'd rather him steal Jerry or George's girlfriend, right? Remember the nose job or, you know, slapping tables with Elmer Fudd? Like, that's good Kramer. Why not take him? Him getting these, like Sarah Silverman and this girl, weird stuff. So kind of doubling down there a little bit. And then just to jump, what a terrible scene here. I hate this. Kramer going into Jerry's bedroom in the middle of the night. What are you doing, buddy? Like, it's 4 a.m. and Jerry wakes up screaming. And I hate those scenes where he just, like, comes into Jerry's room or wants to learn how to shower or, like, brings Newman in the bed. Like, enough. Just, I can't take it. Like, because of Da Vinci sleeping, he's going to go wake up Jerry? This is New York City, man. City never sleeps. You don't need to go into Jerry's room to find something to do, okay? So that's my second down.
No, yeah, I definitely see that because, yeah, New York City, just go out. Go do something that's open 24/7. So, all right. So, Tony, wrap it up with grade and your final thoughts here.
Yeah, I must have been in a good mood when I rewatched this because I'm looking at my grades and that's not the grade I'm going to give. I've already changed it now twice. We talked about this with Mandel. He loves throwing in nippets and snippets from other episodes and from earlier episodes and weaving them into his episodes and trying to, you know, touch on things, wheels in motion. You know, I could do something in sports, like I mentioned. She could be in It, the It girl. Just you'll find them all over Mandel's episodes, and that's what he does. like I said, he at least admits what he was doing and then gives a reason for it. And I get that. And, you know, I respect that. And I think, you know, he went out to great things. But I think these Seinfeld episodes, they just always seem like they just had a premise and that's all they had. The bottom line is this episode is not good. It's not terrible. It's, you know, it's... The grades are all over the place for me on this one. I just can't, I can't go too low and I can't obviously go too high.
How about a C?
I'm going C minus for the Friars Club, actually. And I wrote down some higher grades. I mean, I was, I just love Schneider. I think Schneider's great. I think I gave the George stuff a little more credence when I rewatched it, but talking this through, it's not much better than a C minus. That's where I'm going to land. The Friars Club, season 7, C minus.
All right, yeah, I think that's that falls in line with this episode. So, Chris, interested in hearing what you have to say?
Yeah, he said a lot there. Trying to follow it, but I have two grades as well, and so. Here's the thing. Schneider, Tony mentioned, great. Peterman was great, right? Peterman over to hearing Elaine talk there earlier, they get in the thickets, and even the beginning with Schneider. Elaine, you do it. I mean, Peterman, great. Not too much, just perfect amount of Peterman. Pat Cooper, right? Pat Cooper's pretty good, right? Who are you? You in show business? I mean, good stuff like that might push me a little where I need to be here, because at the end of the day, Elaine, Jerry had pretty solid episodes, to be fair, right? I think Kramer and George were the down ones. Now, historically, the way I grade is when Elaine and George are bad, that weights down just a little more for what it's worth. Kramer downs make it float a little higher, if that makes sense. What I'm getting at here is, you know, If the top two are floating, the bottom two are down, you get a little Schneider, you get a little Peterman. I think we fall a little notch above a C minus, and we'll settle on a C. I think Schneider was good enough to do that. Peterman was good enough. Everyone loves these guys, and when Elaine is solid, you know, she's usually that anchor that weighs down an episode. So I think a C. Tony said C minus. He was wavering between both. I think those are fair grades for the Friars Club.
No, yeah, I think you guys are definitely spot on for this episode here. So, yeah, I do appreciate your insights into this episode and appreciate everybody else also tuning in. So thanks, and we'll see everybody at the next one.